Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kurt Hahn. I'm the CEO and founder, chief cook and bottle washer on S3 Productions on Blog Talk Radio. And I have a couple articles I thought I would share with you today. But before I share my thoughts and opinions, I have three prejudices and biases I want to get right out to you. Number one, I am a shop teacher. In my other life, I'm a very proud shop teacher. I teach computer and electronics. In my other life, you can call me a STEM teacher, a CTE teacher, a shop teacher, industrial tech teacher, whatever it is you want to call me. My second bias I want to come up with is the fact that I'm the new kid on the block in the world of teaching. I've only been doing this as my 12th year. So I'm just a new kid on the block. I'm just learning how to be a teacher here because I read articles that it's just, I'm the new kid on the block. I read reading articles written by people much more learned than I am. And my third bias is, this is like my fifth or sixth career. So I like to think of myself as being once or twice around the block. Anyway, what I want to talk about today is the art of learning. I had two articles I was reading here. One is from the USA Today, January 2nd, 2014, called The Art of Learning, written by Drew Faust, F-A-U-S-T, and Wynton, W-Y-N-T-O-N, Marseilles, M-A-R-S-A-L-I-S. Again, please forgive me if I have your names wrong or misspell them. But anyway, it's an article here talking about education, and particularly liberal arts education. I read this article originally in a hotel room and thought this is kind of cool. The second article came to me. It was on the Internet. It was posted on a Facebook page by Armando Sanchez and Latino Success Stories on his Facebook page. It's from Scientific American, called Why Scientists Should Embrace the Liberal Arts, written by a gentleman by the name of David J. S-K-O-R-T-O-N. Anyway, I'm a shop teacher. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm a shop teacher. Before I start, though, I want to remember, back when I was in the Navy 100 million years ago, there was an old story that went around. It said, we are the unwilling, led by the ungrateful, to do the impossible. We are the unwilling, led by the unknowing, to do the impossible for the ungrateful. We have done so little, so much with so little for so long, we can now do nothing. We can now do everything with nothing. Anyway, this article from the USA Today starts off with arts education gives students skills to create, adapt, and take risk in the future. Wow, isn't that what school's supposed to teach them how to do? Era now of Common Core, test scores, you know, standards. Everybody's going to college and on and on and on. Liberal arts sort of gets shoved to the side, shoved to the corner. I believe in liberal arts. I really do. I will say this. I am a shop teacher. I'm true blue, dyed-in-the-wool shop teacher. Unfortunately, skills classes tend to get a little bit looked underway. Now, my district has the belief now every kid is going to college and have career skills. Okay, I can believe that. The article here, I'm going to save a quote till last in this article, says, we need education that nurtures judgment as well as mastery, ethics and values as well as analysis. We need learning that will enable students to interpret complexity, adapt, and make sense of their lives as they never anticipated. We need a way of teaching and encouraging them to develop understanding of those different from themselves, enabling constructive collaborations across national, cultural origins and identities. In other words, we need learning that incorporates what the arts teaches us. My goodness gracious, what a concept. So I asked myself this question. We have students who are struggling in math and science. Nothing wrong with math and English, who might excel in arts, band, history, science. But because they're not doing too well in math and or English, the answer typically is We will double up their math and double up their English until they do become proficient, because we have to pass the mighty test. So what do? They take somebody's idea of what they're weak, relatively weak in, and they double it up. And then they wonder why their scores go down the toilet, or their grades go down the toilet, or they drop out of school. But I was told that doesn't happen. Doubling up what they're weak in to make them stronger. I've always thought in my confused, simple mind, because remember, I'm just a new kid on the block, that if we take what a kid is naturally strong in, what his skill sets naturally are, his strengths, and build them up, won't the weaknesses naturally rise to compensate for that? Now, I'm just throwing my opinion out there. The arts are about imagining what is beyond the bonds of the known. They embrace the past and the future of the human mind and soul. You know what my two biggest goals in my shop classes are? Problem solving and creative thinking. If you can do those two things, if you look beyond a problem and solve the problem, or if you want to use the vernacular, think outside the box, everything is easy. Everything is simple if you just solve a simple problem. The problem is in education, in my humble opinion, and I could be wrong, is we want to make everything easy. We don't want them to think. We want them to bubble in A, B, or C. We want to make sure they're successful. We want to make sure that if they do A, B, and C, D will come up. Well, anybody who's ever worked in the trades or anybody who's ever had any kind of a career knows, especially if you're in any kind of skilled trades, just because you do A, B, and C doesn't guarantee you're going to screw up D, especially dealing with electronics and computers. But hey, again, I'm the new kid on the block. Okay. Example, Thomas Sudhoff, a winner of the 2013 Nobel Prize for Medicine and Physiology, attributed his discipline and depth of understanding to the mentorship of his bassoon instructor. Wow, I'm not a big fan of the bassoon, but I know that music is based on mathematics. So my goodness gracious, if you're in tune with music, your mind, there's scientific studies that says music helps the mind think. I don't know if you can hear it, but in the background I'm playing Mozart. I'm not a big fan of Mozart, just playing music for the background music. But on my laptop, I have 27,000 songs. I have a whole library. I play music all the time in the classroom. I play the stuff I like, not necessarily the stuff my students like, because I'm an old man. I don't like that modern-day crap. I'm sorry, rap. That's my own personal prejudice. But in any case, it helps them to think. I can say the same thing about choir. Art. Art teaches skill, scale, design, graphics, composition, taking the mental image and putting it on a material. How do you do that in math? I tell my kids the only reason algebra exists on the face of this earth is to teach you how to solve a problem in a logical and progressive manner. You never, ever. Matter of fact, I did this in a math class with teachers. I asked the question, how many of you have ever done the quadratic formula outside of a math class? Not a single hand went up. I did a whole history of the quadratic formula. And I asked the question, when is it applicable? And somebody said, well, if you're going to sit out in a baseball game, you can figure out where the ball is going to go when the batter hits it. Yeah, I'm going to sit up in the stands with my calculator and figure out the trajectory of a baseball at a baseball game. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I did finally find out that the time you use the quadratic formula, and I'm not bad-mouthing math. Ladies and gentlemen, I spent 3 years of my life getting my math credential. But the point is, not bad-mouthing math. The point is, when do you apply it to something real? Something you can use on a daily basis. I try to get my kids to think in a logical, progressive manner, whether they're fixing a computer, burglarizing a shoebox, or anything else. Math teaches you how to do that. The practical applications comes from the music, the arts, et cetera, so forth and so on. At least that's my humble opinion. Again, I'm just the new kid on the block with my rookie 12 years of experience. Music stresses individual practice and technical excellence. It also necessitates listening, working with others, and fulfilling requirements. My goodness gracious, ladies and gentlemen, music teaches teamwork. You know what the single biggest skill employers look for these days? Teamwork. You can't work with the team, who's going to hire you? tell me how you do that in the some of the core classes. I'm not making fun of core teachers. Believe me, I'm not making fun of math, science, English, history teachers. I am not making fun of you. But I think there's too much emphasis on teaching core-type classes in order to raise test scores. I'm a big advocate of liberal arts. I'm also a bigger advocate for shop classes. There's used to be a philosophy 20, 30 years ago that we teach a mile wide, an inch or two depth to give our kids an experience so they can learn a variety of things. And then we went to this nonsense a mile deep and an inch wide. And we're losing kids in the process. I see personally nothing wrong with a kid being an AP calculus and taking auto shop at the same time. I see nothing wrong with a kid being in art class and taking AP English English literature. Because what we should be doing in school is building up these kids' strengths, getting them ready for a job, getting them ready to go out in the world and solve our problems, especially for us old farts like me, who are these kids going to be taken care of in several years. Learning to paint or play, dance, sing, or act means constantly refashioning, constantly demanding risk. I love this. Some gentleman said, Coleman Hawkins once said, if you don't make mistakes, you aren't really trying. If we take away all the mistakes, what are these kids learning? I teach a shop class. If you blow something up, fix it. That's called troubleshooting. That's called problem solving. If everybody did exactly the same thing, all the lights would go blank, blank, blank. That's boring. That's not the way the real world works. Fix it. And unfortunately, it's easier to give up, because I think because of society and education, we've taught them to, if they sit there long enough to stare at you, you'll give them the answer because you have to meet some sort of benchmark. Okay. Miles Davis said, if you hit the wrong note, it's the next note that you play that determines if it was good or bad. One of my best friends here at school is the theater teacher. And you look at the passion that his kids pursue acting with. And yeah, they screw up, make mistakes, but that's how you learn. In recent years, though, we have witnessed a depressing retreat from arts education in American schools. In 1982, nearly 66% of the 18-year-olds in the U.S. reported taking art classes. By 2008, that number dropped to below 50%. It went from 50% in 2008. Now we're down to something around 3 or 4%. We once knew better. It used to be, I go back probably 20, 30, maybe 40 years ago, the United States led the world in education because we taught our kids how to think, how to solve a problem. It's about time the space race started, how to go beyond the limits, to push the envelope, to do new things. We led the world. And then we got into all this standards and Common Core and test scores and all this other nonsense. And we're falling behind in education. And then there's countries like China, India, and some of these other countries. Guess what they're teaching their kids how to do? How to think beyond the box, creative thinking, problem solving, of a wide variety of subjects. Why? To tie that knowledge together so they can solve their problems. And they're kicking our fannies in education. Where have we lost our way? Where have we lost our way? And again, I say this as a shop teacher, ladies and gentlemen, because I see this all the time. I want you to do A, B, and C. I don't know how. Okay, did you read the instructions? That means I have to read. Okay, show me. Okay, I'll show you. I don't get it. Okay, what don't you get? I don't get it. Or you ask kid, okay, what is it you want to do in your life? I don't know. Okay, what do you want to try? I don't know. Okay, what's the most important thing in your life right now? Skateboards. And these are the kids who are taking care of me in 20, 30 years. I had a kid in my class, he wants to be an audio engineer. I got a whole complete sound recording system. What's his response to becoming an audio engineer? Read. I said, why don't you go do it? I don't get it. Well, you want to be an audio engineer? And I'm going to go to the Musicians Institute and spend thousands of dollars to learn. I says, here, you can do it for free. I don't get it. So what makes you think come July when you go to the Music Institute, you're going to get it all of a sudden? What's his answer? Put his nose in a book and read. Okay. We want Louis Armstrong, one of the great cornet trumpet players in the world. Louis Armstrong, born in 1901, described being given his first music lesson. and a cornet in a segregated, unfunded reform school. I'm not saying teaching music is the answer to the end all. I'm not saying teaching dancing is the end all. But I am thinking we do need to add the liberal arts. I do need to think we need to teach these kids how to solve a problem, how to express that creativity, how to take what they've learned practically and apply it to something they want to do. I'm doing a show this afternoon. We're testing some microphones and some cabling. So I'm going to invite one of my students who's a DJ and another guy who's a rap artist, and we're going to do a show about their little business, but we're going to test our systems at the same time. These two guys have the potential for doing some great stuff because they're passionate about what they do. But neither one of them are that academically gifted. They're not stupid. They just don't have the high A and Bs. So my question is, okay, if they go on to take their company and grow into something big and they're becoming making money and doing all kinds of really cool stuff, are they not successful in this world? Well, according to our education system, if they don't go to Harvard or Yale or get their bachelor's degree, they're losers. Again, I'm stirring up my passions. We had an advisory board meeting here a while back for our academy. The only two guests showed up. One is a gold record winner for his work with the music industry, got his own couple of gold records. The other one is a former student of mine who has his Emmy for camera work. They were the only two people who showed up. I invited both of them. And unfortunately, they were both greeted with disdain. They weren't all that welcome because neither one of them has a bachelor's degree. I think Chris is the only one who's been to any kind of college. But you got a gold record and Emmy, and you're telling me they're not qualified? Something's wrong with our systems, ladies and gentlemen. The second article is called Why Scientists Should Embrace the Liberal Arts. Written by David Skortulin. And it starts off talking about bad science. For example, a link between autism and childhood vaccinations. I'm not going to read the whole article. But what is important is we get down, about the fourth paragraph of the article. This was published, I'm not sure when, January 16th, 2014. This is on the Internet, Scientific American. I need some coffee. Hang on a sec. The beauty of my show is I have a cup of coffee and I share my thoughts and feelings. Anyway, while we can't make headway against misinformation campaigns based on bogus science or political agendas, clearly something more than the robustness of our data is at play. To use the classic line from Paul Newman, Cool Hand Luke, what we got here is a failure to communicate. Scientists not only need to explain much more clearly and compelling what we are doing, but also to establish our social, cultural, and emotional level why our work is important. We need to respect our cultural distance. Differences lead to misunderstanding and even fear of science. Which means, in my simple mind, that if all we're doing is basing everything on scientific facts, if the science facts are wrong, then the conclusions are wrong, and who's going to know the difference? And I think liberal arts helps people to discern that difference. Okay. But if they're weak in science in the first place, then you can tell people anything you want. Okay. You know, again, I teach at a high school level. I don't expect all my kids to be rocket scientists, but I do think it's required that they required how to think and discern the right and the wrong. I teach a technology type class. This technology changes so fast, there is no way that I can keep up with it. I have kids that are very proficient with the modern technology. They know ways to do it. I don't. Great, let's teach each other. But when a kid tells me, I can do a better job than that, you say, okay, then go do it. And then they sit there and stare at you. I don't have to. Okay, either put up or shut up, kid. Little Johnny created this product. Well, I can. That sucks. Okay, then prove it. You know, if you're not willing to try, then how are you telling me what I'm doing is wrong? If I'm wrong, I'll admit to you I'm wrong. But don't tell me I'm wrong if you haven't done it in the first place. And that's where I think the liberal arts comes in. I tell my kids, I can't sing, I can't dance. If you can do a better job, then let's take your knowledge to expand my knowledge. Going back to this article. Last two paragraphs. But to be truly effective, we must start much earlier. What we really need is a much broader humanistic education for scientists and non-scientists, beginning in the K-12 education, extending through the undergraduate, graduate, and professional years. It is through the study of arts, music, literature, history, and other humanities and social sciences that we gain a greater understanding of the human condition that biological or physical science alone cannot provide. Now, I want to add, I think it's also through career technical type class that teach these kids job skills. Because if they have no job skills, how are they going to succeed in this world, to go out in this world, get a job, to create their own businesses, to create their own niches in this world so they become successful? I am not pushing out the core classes in favor of liberal arts. I'm saying we need to broaden our base and get rid of all this narrow focus that says everything is facts, 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 and we take away the thinking. We also need to teach people who will never be scientists basic numeracy. We need to give them understanding of the scientific method and the ability to analyze, synthesize, and critically assess what the experts tell them. With this wider understanding, we can better explain our research in terms that the public can understand, appreciate, and act on. The scientific method. My kids are complaining all the time. We're learning the scientific method in science. This is boring. I said, I can teach you the whole thing in 10 minutes. It's, what is your problem? How do you fix your problem? Test your theory. Actually do it. Get it work? No. Go back to step one. Well, I don't get it. If you can't understand those basic steps, how do you explain all the big language words in the scientific method? You know how many kids will stare at something and go, I don't get how to fix it, and then walk away and go play games with their cell phone? It doesn't work. Okay, what's it do or doesn't do? And they'll sit there and stare at you. Okay, how are you going to fix it if all you do is sit here and stare at you? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem here. There's a basic fundamental problem here. If we can't teach these kids, build their strengths up to teach them how to do those skills, then we get them into classes that demand all the facts and memorization. How are they going to do it? If they can't, and by the same token, if they can't take those facts and memorization and apply it, we're wasting our time. We are wasting our time. And I mean, I hate to say this, but we're wasting our time as educators. Again, what's wrong with a kid who's taking advanced AP calculus and woodshop? I see these kids in woodshop doing some beautiful things. I have kids in my class who are doing some cool stuff. I also have kids that are doing absolutely nothing. I got kids who have straight Fs. They're doing nothing and show no desire to do nothing. And they're sophomores. How do you motivate somebody who's not motivated? My theory is I can find out what they're interested in and motivate them through their interest with what they're naturally good in. Then we have a start point. But if they've been beaten down for the last 10, 11, 12 years of school, then what do we have now? Young kids tell me they're going to graduate high school with no direction, no clue, no idea what they're going to do. They're going to go to the community colleges and find themselves. Or they're going to go to the four-year schools because they're beat into their brains. They need to go to the four-year schools and find themselves. And then they're wondering why we have kids getting out of school with $30,000, $40,000 in debt, no job skills. Why not we teach these kids how to find themselves in elementary school? Find out what their interest is in the middle school. Find out what their strengths is in the high schools, and then build upon that. And I think that's where the liberal arts comes in, where the CTE and the shop teachers come in. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please do not misunderstand me. I am not bad-mouthing science teachers, not bad-mouthing history teachers. I will say this about our history. I'm not my school, but just in general. U.S. history at this level generally stops right around World War II. 60, 70-some-odd years ago, U.S. history stopped. And these kids have no clue what's going on. I have one of my goals in life, one of my big passions, I fly U.S. flags all over the world, and I post pictures of where my U.S. flag has been. You know, my kids don't have a clue where these places are at, and I talk about the history behind it, and they stare at you with a blank face. And these are the kids that we're going to turn our environment over to, our country over to, our world over to, and they have no clue. Something's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Something's wrong. How do we fix this problem? Ladies and gentlemen, if I knew the answer to that, I'd be making millions of dollars a year to do exactly what I'm doing right now. I don't know. But I do know this. Unless we fix this problem, and I'm trying in my own little humble way, and there's people who will think and have told me I'm the craftiest teacher on the face of this earth. Okay. Maybe I am. Maybe I am. See, I'm the new kid on the block. I've only been doing this 12 years. Maybe I am. You know, you ever notice the teachers get all the blame for everything? It's always the teacher's fault. How do you take a kid who's failing 6 out of 6 classes, who's a junior, whose grade point average is point something, and blame every teacher going back to kindergarten? You have kids right now in high school who are seniors. You need 220 credits to graduate. They're down at 80, 90, 100 credits, and every teacher doesn't like them. We need to focus on these kids, ladies and gentlemen. We need to focus on these kids to figure out some way of reaching these kids and helping them. And I think it's wrong when we concentrate so much on all this other nonsense that we forget that. That's a whole other lecture, and I don't want to get off onto a tangent. But something's wrong. We need to increase our liberal arts. We need to increase the CTE classes. We need to figure out some way, instead of beating these kids down with all this other nonsense, and having people who are not in education dictating what's wrong with education. People who've never set foot into a classroom. And we need to solve our problems. And I think one of the ways we need to do is increase those strengths of these kids. Find out what they're interested in. I tell my kids, you go take the ASVAB test for the military. Find out what your strengths and weaknesses are. Let's build upon your strengths. And I get criticism because I've had kids tell me, what do I care what my strengths and weaknesses are? Dude, you got a bigger problem. I have other people tell me, why are we wasting school time to have a kid take a test that's going to send them to the military? I'm not asking a kid to join the military. I'm asking a kid to take a test to find out what his strengths and weaknesses are. Well, you can't do that. Why not? Because you're a teacher. Isn't that what teachers are supposed to do, is teach life lessons, get these kids ready for life? I haven't changed my final in 10 years. My final and my midterm are exactly the same test. What have you done to earn the grade you think you've earned? Because I want them to introspect what they did, not what I did. It's what they did. My job is to give them the information. Their job is the process of learning. That I cannot do for them. Learning is something I cannot do for them. That's something they have to do. And they have to have that love of learning, that art of learning to do that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, again, I will tell you up front my prejudices. But I would like to sort of conclude with this, going back to the art of learning. But before I do that, back in the Navy, I still see us occasionally, we the unwilling, led by the unknowing, to do the impossible for the ungrateful. We've done so much for so little for so long, we are now qualified to do everything with nothing. I want to read this out of this article, The Art of Learning. But many of today's students will hold jobs that they have not yet invented, developing skills not yet defined. We not only need to equip them with the ability to answer the questions relevant to the world we now inhabit, we must also enable them to ask the right questions to shape the world they come in. I saw a PowerPoint presentation once. Our job in education is to give these kids undefined skills to solve the problems that we don't even know we have yet. And we're going to do this by testing, and more testing. And we're going to do it by giving them all this other nonsense to teach a mile deep and an inch wide so that they can go out and solve broad-based problems with a very narrow base of knowledge. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. That makes just a whole lot of sense to us. Simple guys. I hear the story. I need some more coffee. Hang on. Mister, what do you know? You're just a stinking teacher. You don't know nothing. Your whole life's in a classroom. I say, okay. I got 28 years in the military, in reserves and active duty time. I got 12 years in the computer industry, 12 plus years in the computer/aerospace defense industry. I have an AA, an AS, a bachelor's degree, and 5 credentials. I've been through high school. I have a high school diploma. I have four kids who've been through high school with high school diplomas, and now I've got 12 years teaching school. And you're 17, 18 years old telling me I don't know squat. Okay, I've had parents tell me that because I'm just a teacher. Every one of our kids, I won't say every one of them, but I've heard this same speech now 11 years, and it starts off something like this. Welcome to our graduation, everybody claps. We have the highest graduation rate in the district, everybody claps. This year we're going to graduate X amount of seniors, everybody claps. And we're going to send, and the number always is about one-third of whatever number of graduates. Last year it was 630 graduates, and 145 are going to a four-year school. Now, I may be a stupid person, but 600 graduate and 145 are going to a four-year school. What happened to the other 300-plus? District paper puts out one year, district school paper. 90% of our graduates are going to college. Wow, that's impressive. 90% of all our graduates are going to college. And we spend a huge amount of time in professional learning communities trying to figure out why our kids, 90% of them are going to college, drop out in the first semester of college because they can't read, write, do simple math, or comprehend sentences. But 90% are going to college, but they can't cut it. I ask myself why. And at this point, nobody's giving me an answer. So I'm here to give my 2 cents worth. I'll never forget my first or second year going to a teacher training. And the gentleman stood up there and said, gentlemen, I have, by the way, the highest respect for. I have the highest respect for this man. Who said, kids come to school for ROP classes. They come to school for CTE classes. They come to school to learn job skills. That's what's keeping our kids in school. It's the doing. It's what drives these kids into our programs, learn how to do things. Academics doesn't do that. Academics has got problems. But kids come to school because of the classes you teach. Everybody went, yay! And then the deep breath. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make our classes look like academics. And everybody went, hello? I am now a math and an English teacher. I have to have writing samples. I have to teach my kids writing. You know how painful that is? If they won't read, they won't write. But I was told that the more they write, the better they read. I said, what do you do about kids who can't and won't read? Well, if you hand it to them, they'll read it. I said, what about kids who can't open books or reading third, fourth grade levels? Oh, but yeah, the more they can vocalize, the more they can read it, the more they can write it, the more they'll learn it. Okay. My question is, what if they won't read? It's like you shake your head and you go, I should be a highly paid multimillionaire consultant. I just throw crappy answers out there and everybody believes me. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, please forgive me. I don't mean to rant and rave, but I just ask myself these questions. And if anybody out there has got the answers, I'm more than happy to listen. I'm just a piddly-ass little shop teacher. Nobody cares about shop teachers. That's why these programs are going away. We're going to teach these kids job skills. How? Well, we're going to teach them through the core classes. Yeah, that makes lots of sense. But hey, in some schools, dance classes are considered career classes. Okay, not a whole big market demand for dancers out there. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, with that in mind, I want to say thank you for listening. I do appreciate it. If you want to argue with me or fight with me or disagree with me, you can do that. My email is oscssw@juno.com, oscssw@juno.com. You can reach me through Facebook, facebook.com/S3Productions1. Through Facebook, or you can reach me through Blog Talk Radio. Love to hear from you. If I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong. And we've all heard about these teachers who have gone on to do wonderful things, yet they teach 1 or 2 years, and then they give up and become multimillionaires talking about their teaching experiences with all their experience in their 1 or 2 years until that one thing went right, then they moved on to do something else. I'm doing this as my 12th year, and I'm the new kid on the block. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to put in liberal arts. I think we need to add our career technical courses. I think we need to give these more kids more variety and somehow let the kid decide what his strengths are. Let him and his parents decide what their strengths are. But it's wrong for a system to decide what the kid's strengths are. Anyway, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate it. You've been a wonderful audience. And with that, I will let you go. Thank you very much, and goodbye.